بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أحبتي في الله، أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، تحية أهل الجنة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Tonight, inshallah, we will talk about a very beautiful hadith Qudsi, and I will tell you one of the differences between hadith Qudsi and hadith Nabawi and the Quran. First of all, the difference between the Quran and the hadith Nabawi, as you know, that both of them are wahy from Allah. However, the Quran are the exact words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas the hadith are the exact words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning is from Allah and the words is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith Qudsi is somewhere in between. Hadith Qudsi is the words of Allah. However, you cannot use it in ibadat, like salat, for example. You use the Quran in salat. The only things that you use are the words of Allah in the Quran. But you don't use the hadith Qudsi during the salat. You use it in your daily life, yes, but you don't use it as ibadah. Al-Quran, the definition of the Quran is that the words of Allah that are al-muta'abbadu bitilawatihi. That means we worship Allah through these words. Anyway, these are technical issues. This hadith you will find, I'll read it for you first in Arabic until you develop the taste, and then we'll explain it. There are some elements in it. What's so unique about this hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers in it by saying the word Ya Ibadi 10 times. Try to imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is repeating this word Ya Ibadi, O my servants, O my willing slaves. There's something also beautiful about Arabic language. The word Abd means servant or slave, and also it means worshipper. The plural of abd, we have two plurals, and you can see the richness of Arabic. It has abd, the plural of abd is abid, and ibad. Abid and ibad. Abid means slaves, like in the full sense of slaves. Whereas the word ibad means slaves who willingly wanted to be slaves. Do you see the difference? That's why we are abid or ibad? Ibad. We are ibad. In fact, we are both, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to address us by ibad. That means those who willingly want to be slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one thing. The other thing, in Arabic language, we have something called idafa. Idafa means addition. You add a noun to another noun. And these two nouns come beside each other. If you compare it in English, for example, you say, the book of Ahmed. So you have the word of in between the two words. In Arabic, this of is dropped. We say Kitab Ahmed. So it gives you the sense of what? Closeness. Not only that, in Arabic, we can put the two words, mudaf and mudaf ilay, in one word. Like Kitabi. You say it in English, my book, two different words. In Arabic, say Kitabi, one word. So the two words are in one. It gives you more what? More closeness. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us. Ya ibadi. So you feel, when you know the language, you feel the sense of closeness. And here you are a slave of whom? If you work with the governor here, wherever you go, I work with the governor. I work with the governor. Try to imagine now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that, Ya ibadi, you take your power from the authority that you work with. So what authority you get when you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers, would you please move forward to give some room to the sisters, jazakumullahu khayran. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us by these beautiful words that have great impact on the hearts of the believers, especially when you know these grammatical and linguistic issues that I explained. Before I start, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started in this hadith in a very amazing way. I would say, what is the hardest thing that you suffer in life in dealing with other people? What is the toughest thing that in dealing with other people? Think of something.
Communication.
Sometimes you feel you are not treated fairly. Everybody has this kind of feeling, right? Whether from your friend, your spouse, even your kids. You feel that the media does not treat the Muslims in a fair way, right? You feel something in your heart, huh? Feel sometimes the other people, yes, treat you unfairly and it affects you. But this is the nature of life. You will never find in this life just absolute justice. It's not there. In this life, it's not there. Because the nature of human beings, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Indeed, man likes to transgress. This part of the nature of human beings is that they want to transgress against the others. And that's why you see when you have all these sufferings from the world that we live in, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this hadith. I will read it for you first in Arabic. And I hope, inshallah, you taste it, even if you don't understand Arabic. قال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه in what he narrated عن ربه through Allah subhanahu. He said, يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم. يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. يا عبادي كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإن لو أنكم لن تبلغوا ضري فتضروني ولن تبلغوا نفعي فتنفعوني. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زاد ذلك في ملكي شيئا. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وجنكم وإنسكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا. يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. يا عبادي إنما هي أعمالكم أحصيها لكم فمن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله ومن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه. Brothers and sisters, how do we develop this love between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you start to love someone? If I ask you these questions now, I'm sure that some of you would know the answer. Give me your impression. Positive, negative, or neutral? Do you love durian? Do you love nanka? Do you love duku? Do you love rambutan? I see one face only is smiling. Do you love them? Do you love these things? Okay, he doesn't love them. These are very, very beautiful fruits in Southeast Asia. But because you have no experience with them, usually you either neutral or you have negative feelings or attitudes. You develop positive attitudes when you have experience with the thing. When you tasted the thing, when you love the thing, you start loving it. Now, that's why the moment I mentioned the first one, you got a very good smile there. Because there seems that there's a sister from that area. You see what I'm saying? You cannot love Allah if you don't know Him. If you don't know the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart would be at least neutral. Because you don't know what He does. You don't know His qualities. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want you to see these qualities. And then after that, you tell yourself, is He worthy of being loved or no? This is the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself with in this hadith. Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-dhulma ala nafsi. Who is saying this? Allah. I made dhulm, I made transgression, I made injustice, haram on me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made injustice haram on Himself. I just want you to think of this. And He said, I also made it haram upon you. Then the command says, فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Do not deal with each other in an unjust way. Do not transgress against the others. Hundreds of forms. Even in a mosque board, you will find some people are trying to plot against the others because they are from their race or they speak the same language. Or because they are from the same family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any form of injustice is haram. We are looking for justice. One of the problems of the whole world is looking for justice. So here's the first command. Now you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all the time justice. He does everything just and more for the Muslims, more than justice. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when He is talking about the kuffar, jaza'an wifaqa. This is the fairness that they deserve. And whereas when He deals with the Muslims, He said, jaza'an min rabbika ata'an hisaba. He deals with you with justice and He gives you more. And this is a slight difference between these two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. One difference between these beautiful words, in English, basically they mean merciful. The two words means merciful. But there's a difference between them. One difference is that the word Ar-Rahman, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to every creature in this dunya. Muslim, non-Muslims, child, old, a woman, a man, animals, insects, every creature of Allah enjoys the mercy of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to all human beings equally in this life. He gives you food, he gives the kuffar food. He gives you something, he gives the others something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman. Whereas the Rahim is the mercy of Allah that will be given to only the believers on the day of judgment. One of the signs of this is, inshallah, some of the Muslims, I hope all of us, will be shaded by the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there will be no shade except the shade of Allah on that day. And when we talk about the day of judgment, we're talking about how long is the day of judgment? 50,000 years long. The day of judgment is 50,000 years long. Just try to imagine what we are going to do on that day. The other sign that you see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the kuffar will meet Allah individually, whereas the Muslims will meet Allah in a group. And it becomes means that you get the mercy of the group, inshallah. Another one, as in the verse that says, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first will open the doors of paradise for the believers. So from distance you will see that paradise is open for you. So it gives you this sense of comfort when you start moving, because you see paradise in front of you. Whereas for the non-believers, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ زُمَرَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا They will be walking and they don't know what's going to happen, and all of a sudden the gates of hellfire will open beneath them and they will fall. Compare this with the believers. When they start moving from distance, they will see the doors of paradise open for you. When you're waiting for an important guest, what do you do? Do you close the door or you open the door? And every time, right, from time to time, you send your kids to see whether he came or not. And finally say that leave the doors open for him. It's a sign of welcoming the guests. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to welcome the believers. Not only that. Not only the doors of paradise will be opened, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers will move and paradise itself will move towards the believers. So you walk and paradise itself moves towards you, to make it shorter. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ هَذَا مَا تُوعَدُونَ لِكُلِّ أَوَّابٍ حَفِيظٍ مَنْ خَشْيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ وَجَاءَ بِقَلْبٍ مُنِيبٍ ادخلوها بسلام ادخلوها بسلام Enter it peacefully. ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْخُلُودِ Just try to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make paradise move. So when you hear the word uzlifat in the Quran, it came 3 or 4 times. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his mercy to you. The second, so now you know this quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just. The second quality of Allah. يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَال إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ All of you are astray. All of you are deviant. All of you, no exception. Including Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, including Ibrahim, all human beings. Illa man hadaytuhu. Except the ones whom I guided. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Alam yajidaka yateeman fa'awa wa wajadaka dhalan fahada. Didn't he find you dull, astray, and he guided you? So I want you to understand this. If you are guided to this religion, don't think that you are guided because you are smart, because you are an engineer or a doctor, or you are a millionaire, or because your parents were Muslims. Don't ever attribute this to yourself. Know that you are in this case because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided you. So Allah, if we are astray, how can we be guided? فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ. Ask me to guide you and I will guide you. That's why no wonder the best messenger and the best human being, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say, Allahumma ahdini, Allahumma ahdini, Allahumma ahdini, Allahumma ahdini. Oh Allah, guide me. Oh Allah, guide me. Day and night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua. So all the time you need this. And that's what we do. Islam itself is designed in that way to give you this guidance. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. We say it at least 17 times, apart from Ramadan. In Ramadan, we probably say it 30 or 40 times. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. All the time, don't ever think because of your smartness, you will do the right decision. And this is the importance of Salat al-Istikhara. When you, إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِعَمَلِ شَيْءٍ فَلْيَسْتَخِرْ. If you are about to do anything, the companions used to do Salat al-Istikhara even when they want to buy some clothes. Wallah, would I buy this or no? Would I marry this woman or no? Would I buy this car or not? Would I select this course or no? All the time, whenever you are taking a decision to do something, make Salat al-Istikhara. Make Salat al-Istikhara. Because in Salat al-Istikhara, you ask Allah to guide you. You don't know what happens in your selection. If something bad happens after that, you already got the permission from Allah. So you don't feel that there's something you said, I wish I would have asked Allah to guide me. When you do Salat al-Istikhara. So this is the beauty of this. So ask Allah to guide you. Thirdly, كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. All of you are hungry. Born hungry. Nobody was born. And he is the one who gives you the food. Don't ever think that the food that you get every day is because the work that you do. Don't ever attribute. You should do the work, but this is not the whole thing. All of you are educated, at least BA or high school. But look at the birds. Prophet ﷺ said this example. Look at the birds. They get up early in the morning, hungry stomach, empty stomachs. They go. They come back with full stomachs. No PhDs, no degrees, no high school, no America, everywhere. Everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the sustenance. That's why one of the names of Allah is Ar-Razzaq, the one who gives you the sustenance. Don't ever think that you get the sustenance because you work with Bill Gates. No. No, Allah. You get the sustenance because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives you the sustenance. So all the time, ask Allah, Allahumma ta'imni, Allahumma ksini, Allahumma ahdini, Allah, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you this. Don't ever think that the medicine that you take cures you. You have to take it, but the cure is not in it. The cure comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you take the medicine, you know that, you say that. Oh Allah, I know that this medicine does not benefit or harm except without your will. With the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get the cure. It's not because of the medicine, but you have to take the medicine. Another quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una. You sin, you err, bil-layli wal-nahar, by day and night. You do that. If you don't sin, raise your hand. You sin. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar, wa ana aghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. I forgive all the sins. Except one sin. Do you know it?
shirk.
And I hope we will have time to talk about this, but we don't have time. This is the sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. All other sins, even if you die on them, there is a possibility that Allah will forgive them. وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Ask me to forgive you, and I will forgive you. And by the way, how many of you said astaghfirullah right now? One or two hands. Be smart. Be smart. While you are listening even to any lecture, say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Because you might not have an opportunity to say it before you die. Imam Anwar al-Awlaqi, I'm sure that you heard some of his lectures. In one of his lectures said that you might be in an airplane and two airplanes crash each other. In few seconds you die. Even you don't have a single second to say astaghfirullah. So be smart. Keep your tongue wet with the word astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. While you are driving, while you are standing, while you are waiting for the food, while you are doing anything, say astaghfirullah. It might be the last time in your life to say it. So this might forgive all your sins, previous sins. فاستغفروني. What's your job? You sin. What's your job? Ask Allah to forgive you. Forgive me. Astaghfirullah. 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 Don't miss an opportunity to do that. And here, another quality. Ya ibadi. لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم. If the first of you, Adam, and the last of you, and the human amongst you, huh? And the jinns amongst you. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the ins and the jinn. The devils. وَإِنْسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ. If all of you have the purest heart of the best amongst you, like the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا زَادَ ذَلِكَ فِي مُلْكِي شَيْئًا. If all human beings are as pure as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them, no exception, and if all the jinns on that level, this will not add to the kingdom of Allah anything. In other words, Allah is in dispense with you. Allah doesn't need you. And this is the meaning of the word. What's the word in the Quran that you say? Very as-samad. When you say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. As-samad means what? The one who is needed by all his creatures, and he needs no one of his creatures. The sun needs Allah. The moon needs Allah. The galaxies need Allah. Oxygen needs Allah. Human needs Allah. Atoms need Allah. Everything needs Allah. And Allah needs no one of them. This is the meaning of a samad. Because the shaitan would come to you. So that you are a good person. You think that because you are a good person, this will add something to Allah, will benefit Allah. No. Allah doesn't need all of us. I just want you to imagine that all these human beings on one planet, this earth, what does it equal in the universe of Allah? Nothing. Just one atom of sand in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't ever think that because you are a good person, this will benefit Allah. No. And vice versa. If all of you have the worst heart of the human being, has the heart of the smartest, stupid human being like Fir'aun, with all his powers, all of you have the same powers, you will never decrease or affect the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get anything from our being here, from our salat, from... It's something that we benefit from. He doesn't benefit from. And here, لو أن, this is one of the best things. لو أن أولكم, if the first of you, and the lust of you, and the human of you, and the devil of you, the shaitan of you, if all of them, how many billions they are approximately? Just make a number. Trillions? He said that if you gather together, and if you stand in one place, and each of you would ask Allah to give him something, you'd request, "Oh Allah, give me a palace bigger than the White House." Another one who is more ambitious, "Oh Allah, give me a piece of land that's equal Georgia." Another greedy old man who would know the qualities of Allah and would say that, "Oh Allah, give me a space that's as large as the whole earth." Allah would give it to him. Everyone would request, "Oh Allah, give me a whole galaxy." And that's why you should know this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a very beautiful lesson. When you deal with human beings, be stingy. When you deal with Allah, be greedy. I want you to learn this. When you deal with a human being, you tell him, "Please give me $100, he will give you less." This is the nature of human beings. Don't ever try it with me, because I'm going to give you $1. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you deal with Allah, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ. Huh? If you ask Allah, ask him for what? Come on, guys, what are you doing? Huh? الْفِرْدَوْسَ الْأَعْلَى. Don't tell Allah, "Oh Allah, I just want to be at the door of paradise." Don't humble yourself with it. Be very greedy when you deal with Allah. Why? Because he's the most generous. And when you ask Allah for Dawsul al-A'la, you know that it is in the capacity of Allah to put all of us in for Dawsul al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. You know that he has this power. So why don't you ask him to practice this power with you? This means that you know the quality of Allah. Why do you deprive yourself from this quality? So Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I will give each one of you what he or she wants. And with all these givings, this will not decrease the kingdom of Allah as much as the needle goes into the ocean and it's raised. What does the needle take from the ocean? Few drops. And what happened to these drops? They go back. You put a needle in water, you raise it, it takes some drops, and these drops go back. What does a needle take when it goes into an ocean? Nothing. With all what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us, insha'Allah, this will not affect the kingdom of Allah." Did you know your Lord? Did you know your Lord? Nobody said yes. Poor guys. Do you know your Lord now? Yes. Do you know the qualities that he has? Then the last one. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malakum. It is your deeds. Uhsiha alaykum. I count them on you. You are a group of your acts. Those two angels are counting. This is one of the wisdoms why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the angels. What? They don't make mistakes. By default, they don't make mistakes. Even if they want to make mistakes, they cannot. They are programmed not to make mistakes. إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالَكُمْ. It is your deeds. أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. I count these deeds for you. So on the day of judgment, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا If you find your books of deeds full of goodness, what should you do?
Thanks Allah.
Thank Allah. Even don't thank yourself. You did nothing. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided you to do these things. And this is the beauty of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you see the gentleness of the message. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَٰلِكَ. Whoever finds something different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say something bad to make it easy on your heart. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَٰلِكَ. If you find something else, what should happen? فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. Blame no one except yourself. This is one of the most beautiful hadith that I ever heard, by the way. I leave it here, by the way. I leave some copies for you, and I hope you benefit from it. Brothers and sisters, in our life, we need to ask questions about Allah. Does Allah do this? What does Allah do in this case? What is the meaning of this attribute? What is the meaning of this quality? What is the meaning of this? What is the significance? And this is why the more you count and understand the names and the attributes of Allah, the more you love Him. And the more you know that no one else can do this except Almighty Allah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.